Alabama and Tennessee syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio. Phil Williams here live in the Right Side Studios. Man, we got the local, the state, the national covering down on all the issues. And oh yeah, like the dude just said, solid, conservative, and just plain right. Well, welcome to hour number three on a Friday. I'm saying hour number three on a Friday. So we do this every Friday. We take a break. We take a quick break from politics and cultural impacts and all that kind of stuff. And we talk about something else that is truly a part of the fabric of our lives, more for some than others. One of those is JP. He happens to be a guru on sports. Has his own podcast here as part of the podcast lineup at Right Side Media called Out of Right Field. And you ought to check it out. It's conservative commentary with sports as the backdrop. But he also had his own radio show for a period of time on the Ump out of Huntsville. And so, we do a thing we call JP on Sports. We have two rounds. First is called the three and out, top three stories he sees in sports world, followed by the two-minute warnings, where he has 2 minutes for any topic he wants in sports, runs with it. We have a timer and a buzzer. He's also got his own very own special sound effect made by some young socialites from Auburn. Play it.
JP on Sports!
I still love that.
I do too.
Three and out, dude. Take the first one. What do you got?
So the NBA playoffs are in full swing right now, and we've already got some teams eliminated. The Bucks were eliminated earlier this week, so Giannis and his team were sent packing. We also had the Pistons eliminated last night against the Knicks. But the biggest one that's drawn the most attention, the Lakers were eliminated earlier this week. So LeBron and Luka Doncic are going home packing. And
LeBron and Bronny.
Yep, and Bronny too. Yeah, I forgot Bronny in the mix there. But it's started a debate now. I feel like the most belabored and high, passionate argument in the sports world over the last couple of years has been the GOAT debate between LeBron and Michael Jordan. And I feel like that's been the one that is.
There is no debate.
Yeah, I know you're going to say that, but a bunch of kids in my generation have alluded to the fact that LeBron, all-time leading scorer now in NBA history. He's been playing for 20 years at the top. He's got four rings. A lot of people think that he's the GOAT. However, this is yet another time, within the last couple of years that he's been sent packing in the playoffs. So it's causing a lot of people to wonder, is this hurting his legacy? The longer he's playing, he won a ring on the Lakers, but other than that, he's been sent home early most of his time at the Lakers. So a lot of people are wondering how this is going to affect his legacy as potential GOAT of basketball. But also it came out today that he sprained his MCL in the last game that they were eliminated. So that may have, caused some things, but it's interesting. Any chance they can get to revive that debate, the old heads, not saying you're an old head, but
Did you call me an old head?
The basketball old heads.
I heard it.
Love to poke fun about LeBron and his GOAT status, and they're already out and talking after LeBron was sent home now. But we also got other great series going on. The Warriors are up 3-2 on the Rockets. So Curry, who is also kind of in the same boat as LeBron, trying to get one more ring before he retires. It looks like he could be moving on to the next round if they handle business. But also, I forgot to mention, a lot of talk as well. Is this LeBron's last season? It could be LeBron's last season. He said he wanted to play with his son Bronny, and he's already done that. He's 40 something years old, so he could be going out early, without a ring, another ring to add to his collection. So a lot of talk about that, but yep, NBA playoffs in full swing, a bunch of good games going on right now. We'll see who is gonna take the trophy at the end.
All right, that's one. What's two?
One of the biggest stories in sports right now. I talked a little bit about this last week. I did my podcast on this as well. Shedeur Sanders and how far he slid in the NFL draft and why that is. And of course, the people at ESPN that have no narrative other than race baiting have talked about how he was passed upon because he is this confident young black quarterback, and these old white NFL owners are scared or intimidated by him and his father. And it has driven me up a wall because, look at, the amount of black QBs in the NFL right now that are successful and rightfully so paid an extremely amount of, large amount of money because they are good leaders and they don't throw their teammates under the bus when they lose.
One of them just won the Super Bowl.
Yes, exactly. And they don't have off the field, issues where he says something in front of the media that's going to be, a problem. They're franchise guys and leaders. And unfortunately, I think Shedeur Sanders showed a lot of instances at Colorado where he was not that guy. There was that one instance they lost to Nebraska, and in the post game, he made a comment about, well, how many times did Nebraska's quarterback get sacked? You know, pretty much throwing his O-line under the bus. And there was a story about this third-string quarterback who kind of got bullied out of Colorado by Dion and Shedeur, and they came out afterwards and were kind of making fun of him in the media, talking about, why do I care what a third-string cares about me? You know, there's just a lot of instances where he was not ready to be the franchise guy, and I think that on top of bad film, bad sacks he took, led to him sliding to the fifth round. And like I said, the story's been hijacked and people have their narratives as to why he slid so much.
So you're telling me it wasn't race?
It was not. That is the bottom line of what I'm telling you.
Oh, boy.
It's not because he was this flashy, you know, black quarterback. It is because of character issues. And be honest, he had a lot of film issues, too, that caused him to slide. So bottom line is, you know, he had bad draft meetings as well. It is the narrative being thrown around by Stephen A. Smith as one, and his colleagues at ESPN has been, you know, black quarterback slid because he's confident. And it's not the case at all. So I'm waiting to see, you know, somebody bring to light the real reason. And yeah, but they're not going to get the headlines because it's not a fun story to talk about. The fun story is he was black and he slid, and that's what they're running with.
I've often found, too, that the person who does some of the things you say he did, you know, like the throwing people under the bus, clapping back at people who would dare to say something to him, is really a sign of insecurity as opposed to. So the idea that he's the young, secure, confident black man, it may just be the opposite. Yeah. He happens to be the young, insecure guy who's not ready to be a leader, like you said.
Yeah. I mean, he knows this isn't a life sentence for Shedeur. He could go on and be a Hall of Fame quarterback still, you know? So it's not the end of his career, but obviously, you know, people are going to jump at every instance they can, especially at ESPN.
All right, that's two. What's three?
So you mentioned earlier this NIL
thing
with an Alabama lawmaker floating up an idea for NIL to be something for high school athletes. So let me say this. All right, so the reason NIL was brought in the first place was so that kids can make money doing sponsorships, commercials. They could work in the off season and not be worried about, you know, making money. That was what it was intended to be. However, not enough guardrails were put in place by the NCAA because they were behind the eight ball and they're incompetent, and they let it become a pay-for-play, which is what NIL is right now.
Yeah.
It's a pay-for-play. Schools pay kids to come, and it's like free agency in the NFL. The arguments that this Alabama lawmaker was making, which I was looking up earlier today, is if we can make NIL what it was intended to be in high school, then it could be a very good thing. You know, if kids want to go and do local sponsorships, you know, for the local restaurant or something, and do a commercial. And I saw in his bill also, he's not going to let them wear school, you know, gear and all that to, you know, distance themselves from that. But his whole argument is, if you make NIL what it was intended to be, it could be a good thing. My response is, yeah, but when has government ever let something what it was intended to be? You know, there's so many cases of it not being what it was intended to be. And we could see schools like Hoover, like Thompson, you know, where they can just pay kids to come play at their school and the rich become richer. So I would say I'm against the bill for that reason of it's not going to be what it's intended to be. I understand what he's saying. I understand that, you know, if we can do it the right way, it won't be an issue. I don't know. Do you have high hopes that it would be done the right way if it was brought into play? It's not going to.
Yeah.
You know, schools like I mentioned are just, it's just going to be a college duplicate. So it's interesting idea, but I don't think it's a good idea. But also talking about NIL, the story just broke about 30 minutes ago. Apparently, Saban may have convinced Trump to do an executive order on NIL to some extent. So I'm curious to see what that executive order would be and how it would help things. But Tuberville was saying he was hoping to get a meeting with Saban and Trump when he was down here. Maybe he did and was able to win Trump over on that. So maybe we can see some actual leadership with all this.
That would be amazing. And I think that's what it's going to take, because I think NIL is now, it's the toothpaste is out of the tube.
Oh, yeah.
It's going to take somebody with a strong personality who could care less what somebody else thinks about them, who's willing to go down hard roads. And the only person I can think of with the clout to do that, not just the desire, but the clout, is going to wind up being Trump.
Yeah, and who knows, maybe he listened to Saban, you know, and he respected what he had to say. I don't know. It's something needs to be done. So we'll see what, if the executive order can do anything and if he does it.
All right. That's three and out. Yep. Okay, three and out. Round one, JP on sports. We'll take a break right now. We'll come right back. 2 minute warning. Yeah, I got a timer and we got a buzzer. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative, just plain right. Just saving the world one soundbite at a time. All right, we are in a thing we call JP on Sports. And yeah, every Friday afternoon we do this. He's got two rounds. The first one he already did, called the three and out. The second one is called the 2 minute warning. I've got a stopwatch and a timer. And we actually run 2 minutes on any topic, buzzer sounds if he runs over. 2 minutes, go.
So this may have been the most bizarre thing I've ever seen.
Here we go.
I don't know if you saw this story with Bill Belichick and his girlfriend.
My gosh.
So Bill Belichick did an interview with, I believe it was ABC.
There's bizarre on several levels here.
Yes. So everybody knows Bill Belichick has a girlfriend much, much younger than him. And I wish the story stopped there. But
can we say like 50 years younger?
Oh, like a lot younger. I wish the story stopped there. However, it looks like that she's becoming like his assistant or controls everything in his life.
Yeah.
And UNC, North Carolina has actually had to tell Bill to tell his girlfriend to back off because she's gone into places and areas that they don't feel comfortable with her going to. She doesn't really have access to. But this interview got really weird really fast when the interview decided to ask Bill Belichick about how him and his girlfriend met. And she decides to speak up and say, "We're not talking about that."
She's not even on the set. She's off to the side.
She's off to the side and she's crouching down and just, has this crazy look on her face. And apparently, too, she stormed out of the interview at one point expecting Belichick to follow her, and he did not. So I don't know. I'm worried about Coach Belichick. I'm worried that Coach Belichick has gotten himself into something. I don't know. I mean, there's stories all the time about older guys like Belichick dating younger women, but this is much more than that. I'm worried that she's taking control and gonna lead him down a road where it's gonna end up in disaster, which would be really sad to see. I mean, the greatest NFL coach of all time being embarrassed like this in public is not a good look. So who knows? But also, there's indicators that he doesn't know that all these embarrassing pictures of him and her at the beach aren't public. He doesn't know that they're on social media, and maybe she's doing posting these without his consent too. It's a mess.
I just have to believe he's got more social adeptness than that. Is that a word, adeptness?
Adeptness,
but you know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
he's more socially adept than that.
Who knows, man? Who knows? But all I'm saying is somebody's got to help Bill. You know, Saban and Belichick are best friends. Saban, if for some reason you hear this, which I doubt it, but if you do, save your friend Bill, please.
Yeah, you said yesterday we were in the studio and you said, "Coach, blink twice if you need help."
Blink twice if you need help.
All right, that's 2 minutes. Let me clear the clock. Ready? Next 2 minutes, go.
Kentucky Derby is this weekend.
Yes, it is.
It's one of the...
The lovely Charlene used to work there sometimes.
Really?
Yeah, she did.
It's one of the most fun things I like to watch is the Kentucky Derby, but for this reason, because I love the horse names. So I'll just tell you the best odds to win the Kentucky Derby this weekend. The 3-1 odds, the best, the favorite, his name's Journalism.
Is his name is Journalism?
Journalism is his name.
He's not fake news, he's Journalism?
Nope, he is Journalism. And number two behind him is Sovereignty, with 5-1 odds. And then we also got Sandman with 6-1 odds is the third highest horse. But apparently, the horse to look out for, the dark horse, no pun intended, I mean, that's literally what that means, Burnham Square with 12-1 odds has been one of the bigger betting favorites among that isn't in the, you know, the more favorites. So people are telling everybody to look out for Burnham Square, but I don't know. It's normally never the horse that's expected to win. I feel like the favorite is never the one that wins. So who knows? Journalism may not
know.
Be.
Sometimes you get a triple crown. Sometimes.
That's true. You do get a triple crown sometimes, but I don't know. Journalism may not be in the best of luck if he's the favorite.
So Charlene is a Louisville girl, and I won't take too much of your time, but she grew up, and derby parties are a big deal up there.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and they eat chips with Benedictine, and they wear big hats, and they have big doings. And it's a cultural, local thing. It's kind of like Mardi Gras in New Orleans. It's a thing.
That's on my bucket list of sporting events to attend to. WrestleMania is up there. Kentucky Derby is also up there.
Brother, you are diverse.
Yeah, I am. I'm all UFC fight is also up there, too, so there you go.
Super Bowl? You been to a Super Bowl yet?
I've never been to a Super Bowl, but I mean, after my Falcons blew 28-3 lead, I'm kind of scared about Super Bowls.
All right, you came in under time. No buzzer on that one. Reset the clock. 2 minutes, go.
Stephen A. Smith, this story, I brought it up a couple of times, but his presidential flirtings, I don't know if you saw this, but he was actually, he had an instance where he was on sort of a panel with Cuomo and, forgive me, what is the station Cuomo works at now?
Is CNN? It was CNN.
Is it News Nation?
Yeah, I think it was News Nation.
News Nation, he was up there on a panel, and they had Trump on the phone, and were talking to him about other things, but Stephen A. Smith was there, and Trump actually encouraged Stephen A. Smith to run for president. I don't know if you saw this, but Trump said that the Democratic Party could use Stephen A. Smith, and he could hopefully, you know, save them from the mess they're in. Complimented his entertainment abilities, which said are very important in the presidential race, and pretty much gave him like resounding compliments to run for president, where Stephen A. Smith obviously was sitting there trying to act like he wasn't flattered. But I don't know. This story, I feel like it's more interesting by the day because, you know, he initially said he wasn't going to run. Then he said he's not ruling it out. And now we got this Trump, you know, I wouldn't say endorsement, but, you know, encouragement to run. Could we see Stephen A. Smith eventually throw his hat in the ring? And what odds do we think he would win if he did?
I see the ticket right now. It's Smith Saban.
Smith Saban. Oh, my gosh. Smith and Shaq or Barkley. I don't know. I think it's funny. I think it's an interesting story, though, because his polling numbers aren't terrible for what you would think for a guy, a political outsider like that. It would be something to watch. Can you imagine an AOC and Stephen A. Smith presidential debate in the primaries? That would be quite something. So I don't know. I don't know if he'll run, but I think it is getting more interesting. The Stephen A. Smith presidential flirtings with Trump now throwing his take in there.
That would be a hoot, but that is also not unheard of because Donald Trump himself was an entertainer.
Exactly.
With opinions.
Exactly. And he was an outsider, so who knows?
And there's your buzzer. All right. So do we have time? What do we got? We got time for one?
Sure.
We have sure, take it, man. I'll run the clock. Go.
We got Braves Dodgers this weekend. The Braves have been digging themselves out of the hole they put themselves into. They've won 12 of their last 14, so they're inching closer to 500 after that 0-7 start to the year. Which you know, like I said last week, the Braves were one of the favorites to win the World Series this year, so it was unheard of for them to start like that. But they're coming back. But the big factor is Ronald Acuña Jr., the former MVP, the Braves superstar, will be coming back late May. It was announced today. So while the Braves are starting to get some momentum and getting back to 500, they could be getting their superstar back. So it could change everything.
All right. And he came in under time. Good enough. Hey, that's it. JP on sports. Good job, man. All right. We're taking a break. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Coming right back. You're going to want to hear what Stephen Miller had to say. That man can dismantle a press pool like nobody I've ever heard. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. We'll be right back.